tease her as I travel down life's road. I warble in the helping hand and share some brother's woe. Just a gentle word I hand is good fighting someone's day. I want to share a little bit of peace as I travel on this way. On a hillside and a brief my journey's end. May it seem that I share Jesus with all of my first friends. There's something I won't remember if someone speaks of me. That they can see a little bit of Jesus, for the Jesus I will be. I want to go by everybody to see the little bit of people on me. I want to say about who I
I want everybody to see the little bit of Jesus in me. I want to tell his love and about my heart. He tells us how grateful and so great. And I want everybody to see the little bit of Jesus in me. And I want everybody to see the little bit of Jesus in me.
Hello, today, once again, we're going to be reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, that being verses 39 through 43. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great salvation that you have provided in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray as we bring the message today that you will help me to say every word that needs to be said. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the third part of the message entitled, The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. In the weeks prior, we have given an introduction concerning the sayings of Christ from the cross. These have been called the death cries of Jesus Christ. They have been called the matchless cries from Calvary. They have been called Calvary's cries. They have been called the seven last words of Christ from the cross. My friend, as Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, he spoke seven sayings, or seven words, and seven in the Word of God is a numerical number for perfection. We find perfection in these death cries of Jesus Christ. Now these sayings of Christ from the cross can be looked at as follows. The first saying of Jesus Christ involves intercession. The second saying of Christ involves salvation. The third saying of Christ involves affection. The fourth saying of Christ involves desolation. The fifth saying of Christ involves limitation. The sixth saying of Christ involves jubilation. And the seventh saying of Christ involves resignation. Resignation. Now, during this series, we are only dealing with the second saying of Christ from the cross. The second saying of Christ from the cross is set before us here in Luke chapter 23, with verses 29 through 43. Here in this passage, we find the second saying of Christ from the cross, as well as the last two companions of Christ upon this earth before his death. Here in Luke chapter number 23, we find Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves. Why did God allow his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves? Listen, my friend, there are no accidents in a world that is governed by God. Jesus Christ being crucified between two thieves was no mere accident, nor was it merely an incident, but it was according to God's divine plan. Most certainly this is so. We dealt with this in the broadcast last week. And we said some things then that we're not going to say today. But I do want to say this. God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves for various reasons. One reason for this was to show the position that Christ occupied as our substitute. By being on the cross at Calvary, Christ took the place due us. And that was a place of shame. That was a place of transgressors. That was a place of death. Not only that, but God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves so that in these three crosses, and the ones that hung upon them, we would have a representation of the drama of salvation and man's response thereto. My friend, here in Luke chapter 23, in verses 39 through 43, we have three crosses spoken of. The first one is found in verse 39. The second one is found in verses 40 through 42. And the third one is found in verse 43. When we look at the first cross in verse 39, we see rejection. When we look at the second cross in verses 40 through 42, we see repentance. And when we look at the third cross in verse 43, we see redemption. When we look at the first cross in verse 39, we see abhorrence. When we look at the second cross in verses 40 through 42, we see acceptance. And when we look at the third cross in verse 43, we see atonement. The one on the cross in verse 39 died in sin. The one on the cross in verses 40 through 42 died out of sin. And the one on the third cross in verse 43 died for sin. Jesus Christ died for sin. When we look at the first cross in verse 39, we see despair. When we look at the second cross in verses 40 through 42, we see faith. And when we look at the third cross in verse 43, we see love. We see love. My friend, listen. Here in these three crosses and the ones that hung upon them, we have a representation of the drama of salvation and man's response thereto. When we come to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, we find three things. First, the sinner rejecting. In verse 39, the sinner rejecting. Second, we have the sinner receiving. The sinner receiving. In verses 40 through 42. And then third, we find the Savior redeeming in verse 43. Now this time, I want to begin dealing with verse number 49. Here in verse number 49, we find the sinner rejecting. The sinner rejecting. Let's notice this verse carefully. Here we find once again the word of God says this. And one of the malefactors, one of the malefactors, one of the criminals, one of the thieves, and one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him. Here we find this thief railed on Jesus Christ. The word railed here means to blaspheme. It means to defame. It means to revile. It means to speak evil of. Here we find this sinner spitting out blasphemy and evil just like a serpent would spit out its venom or poison. Notice further here in verse 39. Let's notice carefully what this thief says in this verse of Scripture. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ. Notice carefully what this thief said. He said, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. I want to compare what this thief said, as is recorded here in verse 39, with what we find in verses 35 through 37 earlier in this same chapter. Here in verse number 35, the Word of God says, And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. In verse 36, the Word of God says, And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Here we find, my friend, that when these rulers derided Jesus Christ, they said, If he be Christ. Here we find that when these soldiers mocked Jesus Christ, they said, If thou be the King of the Jews. Then when we come to verse number 39, we find this, he said, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. My friend, this tells me that this thief here in verse number 39 had been influenced by the crowd. This thief here in verse number 39 had been influenced by the crowd. We know he had been influenced by the crowd because here in verse number 39 we find him speaking the language of the crowd. We find him saying the same thing that the crowd was saying. If thou be Christ. Here we find him going along with the crowd, following the crowd, speaking the language of the crowd. This thief, my friend, was influenced by the crowd. Now listen carefully. If you will read and study the Word of God, you will find that in the Word of God, Usually, the crowd is wrong. My friend, it was the crowd that howled for the death of Jesus Christ. It was the crowd that crucified Jesus Christ. My friend, the crowd is on the way to hell. And if you're listening to this broadcast today, and you have never been saved by the grace of God, if you are not very, very careful, the crowd will keep you from Christ. The crowd will keep you from Christ if you're not very, very careful. My friend, a river is usually crooked because it follows the path of least resistance. That's what we find here in verse number 39. We find this thief going along with the current. We find this thief going along with the crowd. We find him speaking the language of the crowd, following the crowd, going along with the crowd. Oh, yes. Listen, my friend, if you're listening to this broadcast today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, if you continue in unbelief, if you continue to listen to the crowd, to go along with the crowd, to follow the crowd, to say the same thing the crowd says, if you continue on in that condition, you can mark it down. You'll roast in hell. Most certainly, this is so. So we find that this thief here, in verse number 39, was influenced by the crowd. Not only that, but I want to go a step further and say this. This wicked crowd here, in verses 35 through 37, along with this thief, here in verse number 39, was under the direction and influence of the devil. You're listening? I said that this crowd here, as well as this thief in verse number 39, was under the direction and influence of the devil. I know this because of what is recorded in Matthew chapter number 4. In Matthew chapter number 4, in verses 1 through 11, we find the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, the Word of God says this. And when the tempter, this has reference to the devil, and when the tempter came to him, here we find the devil came to Jesus Christ. Now notice carefully what the devil said. The devil said, if thou be the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 4 and in verse number 6, again we find that the devil said, if thou be the Son of God. Here we find the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, what did this wicked crowd around the cross say? The crowd was saying, if thou be the Son of God. Here we find this thief in verse number 39 was saying, if thou be Christ. This tells us, my friend, that this wicked crowd around the cross that day, as well as this thief here in verse number 39, was under the direction and influence of the devil. They were saying exactly what the devil wanted them to say. My friend, according to Ephesians chapter 2, with verses 1 and 2, those that are lost, those that are lost are under the direction and influence of the devil. My friend, the devil has dominion over the unsaved. Well, certainly he does. The world apart from Christians is in the embrace of the devil. The world apart from Christians is in the arms of the devil. The world apart from Christians is in the devil's lap. According to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19. Here we find this wicked crowd, as well as this thief here in verse number 39, under the direction and influence of the devil. My friend, this crowd, as well as this thief here in verse number 39, was listening to the devil. And they were saying exactly what the devil wanted them to say. My friend, the devil wants people to doubt the deity of Christ. He wants people to doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He wants people to doubt that Jesus Christ was God in flesh. Listen, my friend, this reminds me of what was recently said by a professor in one of the so-called Bible colleges in the land. This professor said, the matter of the virgin birth is a take it or leave it matter with me. Are you listening? This professor said, the matter of the virgin birth is a take it or leave it matter with me. My friend, listen carefully. The matter of the virgin birth, the matter of the virgin birth is not a take it or leave it matter with me. A man's eternal destiny hinges upon the fact of whether Jesus Christ was God or not. My friend, you will believe that Jesus Christ was God in flesh, or die and go to hell. You say, preacher, that's a strong statement. I know it is. But it's no stronger than what the occasion calls for. You will believe that Jesus Christ was God in flesh, or die in your sins and go to hell. We find this set before us in John chapter number 8. In John chapter 8 and in verses 20 through 24, the Word of God says this. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not, listen carefully, hear the Lord Jesus said, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. My friend, the term I am here in verse number 24 is God's name for himself. Here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus was saying that if you do not believe that I am God in flesh, you shall die in your sins and go to hell. That's what Jesus Christ was saying here in this passage of Scripture. My friend, if you do not believe, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ was God in flesh, you shall die in your sins and go to hell. No one goes to heaven denying that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. No one goes to heaven denying that Jesus Christ was God in flesh. You will believe that Jesus Christ was God in flesh or die and go to hell. That's as far as we're going today with the message entitled The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. In closing, I want to say this. If you are listening to this broadcast today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you are lost and on your way to hell. You need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, bow your head and from your heart, exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you, and He will, and you'll know it. Thank you.
I have read how He said, let your heart not be troubled, for I go to prepare you a place. Trees of gold, it's of pearl, and this long war of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
You've been listening to the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Join us again next week for the Back to Calvary program.
Forever thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.